Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am your host, Heather Hansen O'Neill. And the quote of today is Eleanor Roosevelt saying, "True hospitality consists of giving the best of yourself to your guests." I suspect you're going to know momentarily why I chose that quote. We have a very exciting guest for you today who is an absolute expert in this arena. Dr. Leila Rack is the Executive Managing Director of Strategic Consulting Services, a division of Associated Luxury Hotels International, also known as ALHI. She is known for her practical, informative, and entertaining presentations, whether delivering a keynote speech, a workshop, or emceeing a conference. Among other things, Leila is founder and partner of Rack Enterprises, a university educator and an author. Her first book is Managing the Book on You, Rewriting Your Leadership Story. And at New York University, her leadership ability resulted in the creation of one of the world's most innovative graduate and undergraduate programs in the business of hospitality, sports, and tourism. Among her many, many awards and honors are Most Influential Women in Hospitality, the Top 25 Extraordinary Minds in Sales and Marketing, and she was selected as one of the 33 most influential people in the travel industry with about, 62 other awards. But I'm not going to go through all of them. The most important thing I want to share with you is I have come to know Leila, and she is an extraordinary person who is very generous with her time and her wisdom. So thank you so much for being here today, Leila. How are you?
Oh, Heather, I'm wonderful, and I hope you are as well. But I have to, before I let you answer, I have to say to you, that was a very gracious opening. And isn't it wonderful? You have many awards and recognitions, but you're only as good as you are today and tomorrow. Those are the past. Yeah. And so it's lovely of you, but will I continue to bring value to clients, to colleagues? And that's really what is important to me. But I do thank you.
That being important to you is the reason why you will continue to bring value, because it's important. You know, you have had such an amazing and varied career. You know, you've done a lot, as it relates to being a hotel professional, educator, consultant. There's so many different aspects of you and who you are. So is there anything else from your background, your journey to getting here, that you would like to share with our listeners before I dive into some of my own questions here?
Well, if you were to, the way you asked that, it made me think of the one thing that I am proudest of in my entire career that doesn't go on a resume. And that is when I graduated from college, I took care of my grandparents for a year. My grandmother had what we called senility, and my grandfather had prostate cancer. And you're talking, it was a time, even though you had physical and mental, emotional diseases, you didn't go, you stayed in your home. And so I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my father said, it was his parents, would I like to take this opportunity and find, take care of them for a year. And I thought, why not? But I'm going to tell you, and it wasn't a full year, it was 9 months. It was the best year of my life in ways of learning about myself, learning about my grandparents, things I didn't know, understanding how people we put on a pedestal are still people. It really taught me I could dig deep and do things. My grandfather had prostate cancer, and I'm not going to go into it, but somebody had to keep everything clean. And he was in, oh, such great pain, and how we could manage his pain. And, you know, I'm 22 years old. I don't have a degree in anything to do with medicine or social work. My grandmother, I'm named for her. And so she could not figure out why we had the same name. My grandparents were married at that time for over 60 years, and she didn't know who he was. She thought my grandfather was her mother. And, you know, that's the disease. And so it just progressively, both of them, physically and mentally over the time, it just got worse. And it was my grandfather first, because his cancer was, you know, spreading. And when I ended it, it took me a while, because it was a very emotional situation. I didn't, you know, I don't really think about it during that. But when I realized it and stepped away, and it took a couple of years, it was the best gift anyone has ever given me. And, you know, to this day, and I know I'm rambling on about it, but it is what one of the major definers of my life.
You know, when you first said that, that was the word that came to mind. I bet this was a gift. And I can see exactly what you're talking about. And I don't think that, you know, for my sons, like, so my parents lived far away, and their dad's parents passed before they were born. And so they didn't have that same connection to the stories, to the history, to their grandparents.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a beautiful gift, even though it must have been very challenging, and also a lesson that a 22-year-old may not have thought that they wanted to do at the time.
Oh, God. I mean, but the strength that I found in myself, and the ability to do things that I never thought I could do. And also then just the basic humanity. I mean, I admired my grandfather, because my grandmother should have gone into care sooner. And I'm sure part of it was himself as well, but he felt we would care for her better. And he was right. And so, but it was today, I will often tell people when I interviewed for jobs later on, you know, they, what do you want me to know about you? I think they always thought I was going to say, well, I'm a self-directed, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Blah, blah.
And I would always say, I want you to know about my grandparents.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful story. Thank you so much for kicking us off with that touch of humanity. You know, that my listeners are very well aware of my passion for expanding humanity. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Let's look at your job, or your passion for being a consultant. What drives you as a consultant?
Well, I like to be of service. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, you know, if there was, and I don't believe in tombstones, but, and by service, I don't mean servitude, nor do I mean perhaps what many people think of when they think of being of service. I really want to help my clients and the companies, organizations they represent, work for, be better. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes my service is actually saying, you have to be more responsible. You have to be more of an adult. You have to, you know, think differently. And I'm on a tangent. I don't think people think enough. I mean, we just like to act, and it doesn't matter if there's a ripple in the pond or a tsunami. Mm. We're going to act, you know? And so I'm like, nah, not really. You kind of should step back maybe and take a pause and think about it. And so when I say to serve, if some of my clients listen to this, they would say, she really means to push. She really means to make you uncomfortable. And I don't know that, Heather, I go into it and think, oh, good, I get to make somebody uncomfortable. Yay for me. But I think if you're going to be, you know, you're a senior leader, then you have an enormous responsibility.
Yes.
And it isn't that I don't care or that I don't have a sense of humanity, because I do. But at the end of the day, their sense of humanity has got to grow. Their care has to grow. And how it grows and what that means, that's the role I play with them. And so if you're looking for, like, because I'm an executive coach, or if you're looking for a workshop on leadership development, or you're looking for a keynote, or it doesn't, I play another role. I give advice to senior leaders on strategy.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for someone who's going to agree with you, who's going to be mild about things, you don't want me.
No.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am direct. I am, but I want, in my directness, I want it to be useful. And that's, I want it to be practical. And that's what to service means to me.
And I completely get what you're talking about, and I appreciate it. See, I'm someone who can be direct, and actually the call just prior to this one, I actually said to somebody, I kind of like making people uncomfortable, but I meant it in the same way that you're talking about. But when I say it out of context, people probably think, well, that's a little rude, but no, but it's not. It comes from a place of wanting to help someone. And I will tell you that you are so good at it. You are so good at helping people see those things that they don't see because they're too close to it. Right. And that's why you need to be the one who is direct, who encourages leaders to take responsibility, to look outside of themselves and to understand why this humanity is so important now more than ever before. They need that. And they need that from you and the way that you do it. Because as much as you're trying to come across as harsh, you're not. You're a sweetie.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we want to take a vote on that. But you're very gracious, and I mean that in the best sense. I'm not at all being dismissive or deflective of what you've said. I think about consulting, and I think it's why I gravitated to higher education, because when I left the hotel industry, it was time for me to move up. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was on a path. My next step wasn't to be a general manager, but I was on that path. It was going to happen sooner rather than later. And I just realized that, I don't know, that just didn't do it for me. Pardon me. And then I had gotten my MBA, and I saw an ad in one of the industry magazines, and they were looking for a teacher, an instructor, a professor at one of the universities, and it had a large hospitality program. And I thought, well, I can do that. I've done that. I can do that. And I'd never taught before. And I never worked that hard. I'm going to tell you, for the first 2 years of my life, I worked like a dog. And I mean that. Oh, my God. People who say, well, if you can't do it, teach. I want to take them and do bodily harm. But the point of it is, it was exactly me.
Yeah.
Because when you teach, you learn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you teach and you don't learn, you're not teaching. I don't know what you're doing, but you're not teaching. And it was, I think, the most joyous discovery of my life that, oh my God, I think that's why my undergraduate degree is in history. And people go, what do you do? Well, you don't do really, you can teach history, but that isn't why I did it. I think because I just love learning. Now, the love of learning isn't going to pay your salary. And, you know, I was never the type of person that I would marry someone and they would support me. I never understood that. And I think because of all my role models, my grandmother, my mother, father's mother owned restaurants for over a half a century. She was a self-made, self-taught woman. She had a third grade education. She told her husband what to do and when to do it. And he was not a milquetoast. I don't want you to think that, but that was her drive. And then I think about, you know, my other side, my mother's side. And as your boys, you said my grandparents on my mother's side were dead by the time I was born. But the women in her, she had five sisters and her mother. And before that, they were all highly successful women. Excuse me, I apologize.
It's okay.
And so, I mean, I think every part of my being in my history of my family, I guess I would say, was always about learning. Mm-hmm. And it is the joy of my life, I have to tell you. And I only taught full time at a university for the first 2 years. And then from there, I went on to be doing more administration, management, leadership. But it, why am I telling you this? Because I think it all ties back into consulting. It still gives me that joy,
yes,
of learning. And at times, do I teach? Yes, at times I do in consulting, but it's mainly much different now. Mm-hmm. And it's really helping people explore who they want to be as a leader. It's helping groups of people understand what their strategy means for their company over the next 12, 24, 36 months. And that is as exciting to me as anything. And it really does drive me. I have to be frank about that.
Wow. Now, how does that tie into your book, Managing the Book on You? I feel like it does. And tell the listeners why they should read it.
Well, why wouldn't they read it? I have, you know, well, I think the first, I'm going to back up before I tell them why they should read it. I'm going to tell them why I wrote it. There are such universals about leadership. And I sometimes think, and I'm being specific now, this book is for men or women, but it is written by a woman. We don't ever think about this with the leadership books we read that men write. And most leadership books are written by men. All right. Mm-hmm. Having said that, because I'm a woman and I wrote this, and I wrote it from a female perspective because men write theirs from a male perspective and a leadership perspective. And I wrote it from a leadership perspective. But I often get people telling me, men and women, oh, this is for women. No, I hope women read it. I mean that sincerely, but I hope men read it. It's a book on leadership. And some of it is very universal. But at heart, I'm a storyteller and I'm a very practical person. And so what I try to do is take aspects of your career that everybody, yourself included, Heather, encounter and help you find ways to understand it better and differently. Mm-hmm. And so it is a workbook. It is not just a book. And so I'm going to say why you shouldn't read it. I know this is weird, but stay with me. You shouldn't read it if all you're going to do is read it. If you're not going to do the work, because it's your career, not mine, and you do have to manage it. And I hear clients over the years, I have now executive coached for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I've executive coached men and women. I've executive coached primarily at senior levels and above, mm-hmm. primarily. But one of the things I came to recognize in this is I would hear people say, I'm not being recognized for this. I didn't get the promotion because of, mm-hmm. and I go on that. And there are some stories in my book about that. But what it told me is you're never updating who you are as mm-hmm. a professional. So if you get, and here's what I mean by that. If you get elected to a board, an association board, your company or organization is likely going to publish a press release on that. Mm-hmm. Heather Hansen O'Neill today was elected to the board of National Speakers. Okay. Mm-hmm. We congratulate her. Heather is going to have a quote. The president of the company is going to have a quote. And everybody in the company receives that email, that press release. Her colleagues receive it. Outside the company, she's recognized for it. That's a very tangible evidence of what her subject matter expertise is, of what she does. I have yet to see a podcast for you or anyone that says, Heather Hansen O'Neill has been so mature the last year. We recognize her ability to lead differently, that she has gained skills and abilities in areas she didn't have. Nobody talks about those kinds of things.
That is such an excellent point. This is so important.
And so what I'm trying to say to people is, if you don't rewrite the script, nobody else is going to do it. Because when I go up for promotion, what my boss is likely to remember are the things I don't do well. And again, I don't mean your discipline area, your subject matter expertise. I mean, like, and I still can be, so I haven't fully conquered it. But as a younger professional, I was quite impatient. And it was not a shining part of my professional style. I thought everyone should just get things. Why did I have to explain? Nothing that looks really good. And my boss really saw that as a failure. I'm not saying he was wrong. I want you to understand that. But I really worked on controlling that, on changing that, on advancing my skills and abilities. And he never recognized.
Yes.
And that's what you have to manage. And so, again, I don't expect anybody to put a plaque up on their wall that says, I am more emotionally intelligent today than I was 3 years ago. Because if we go and get an MBA, we'll put that plaque up on the wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that is, and in fact, you know, this will show you how unprepared I am at the moment, but I have my book right here. I had to lean over and get it. You have yours right behind you. My book right here. And what I want to just, if anybody's watching this, I'm going to say it. But at the end of each chapter, there are questions yes. on the chapter. Now, mm-hmm. some of them you can answer quite easily. Others of them you may have to think about. You may have to gather information. And I think the proudest thing I can tell you, someone who I, in fact, coach read it, happened to be a woman leader. And she said to me, there was one chapter, I couldn't figure out why you even had it in your book when I looked at the index, you know, the table of contents, excuse me. And she said, then I read it. And she said, I don't think I like you. And I said, oh, well, good. Thank you. Why not? She goes, because I now have to work on something I don't want to work on. Mm. And you explained it, why I need to work on it. And I said, oh my God, are you like 8? And she said to me, I forgot what having you as a coach is like. And so I took that as a badge of honor. I'm going to tell you very, but again, I'm saying to people, yes, would I like you to buy the book? Of course I would. I worked on it. I worked hard. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, do I want you to buy the book because all you do is read it? No. I mean, you can buy this book and you can contact me in the book, or I'll give my information on the show. You can reach out to me. We could have a conversation on some aspect of the book.
Yeah.
But it is, it's different than other leadership books because you're responsible, not me.
Yeah. And you know what? That is a theme I'm going to underline and add an exclamation point to, because I think that the world is in need of a little more responsibility, right? Owning our stuff. And so I love that. That's fantastic. Now, you know, Layla, can you tell people a little bit more about your role with Strategic Consulting Services through sure. ALHI?
Well, you know, at heart, I am a creator. At heart, I am an idea person, a problem. I love, you know, being given a challenge, dead serious. So anyway, COVID came. My life was really good, like many people. I had a full-time consulting job. I had finally left higher education completely after 30 years, and things were good. Mm-hmm. And then COVID hit, mm-hmm. and I realized in my career, things would be good through the end of the year in 2020, you know, but after that, who knew? And I thought, okay, well, you know what you always say, you got to make lemonade out of lemons. Right. And I'm not making light of COVID. I don't want anyone to think that at all. Because I'm not, if I came off that way, I sincerely apologize because it was a tragedy and it's serious and it still is. But the point of it was I saw my business going away. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, it'll come back. Well, yeah, it's true. It would have, but when? Would it come back in 22? Would it have been now this year, 23? Would it have been come back at all in 21? And I said, no, because who needs a strategy consultant when all you want to do is stay alive?
Right.
Okay. So I said, well, how long can you hold on? Well, we all have a certain amount we can hold on, but that it also didn't seem to me a positive thing. So I had had an idea for a long time and I firmed it up and I said, okay, there are three companies I can take this idea to because they have to be looking for value added. They have to be looking for a way to broaden who they are and what they do. And so I went to the first company and I went to Associated Luxury Hotels Incorporated or ALHI, who was headed up at that time and still is by Mike Dominguez, who is the CEO and president. And why did I go to him? He had been a client of mine since shortly after the turn of the century. We had developed a very good client-consultant relationship. I had worked for him at different companies as he went through his career. We had grown beyond just being a client. We were friends. Mm-hmm. And we respected each other. And I think that should have come before friends. We absolutely respected each other. And we like each other's minds, to be very frank with you. Yeah. So I went to Mike and I said, okay, I've got this idea. I explained it. I said, why don't you think about it? And he said, no, I'd like a two-pager on it. And I said, okay, I can get that to you by next week. And that was the end of March 2021, something like that. And I started with them in April of 2021, the end of April. And my idea was to develop a consulting arm that would provide services of value to members and clients. And oh, yes, it would provide revenue, but the revenue would be slowly growing. But it would also provide value add. It would further the difference that ALHI is as a company, as opposed to those that are in similar space. Mm-hmm. It would strengthen the reason you would want to be a member of ALHI. And so for about the first 16 months, I was the only consultant because you had to build something, you had to grow it, and I did that. I'm very proud that you're one of our consultants. We have external consultants. We now have 5 external consultants and then one consultant, Armine Terrazon, who is a vice president of sales operations for ALHI. And if your data is a problem, she is your person. Yeah. But I'm very proud that we have a cadre of people who are at the cutting edge of their game, like you are. And I'm, you know, that's, there's no, I know you're from Fear to Fire, but there's no blowing smoke about that. That is you know, if you look at yourself, if you look at, Karen Richardson, who is, I think, one of the true geniuses and thought leaders in talent management today. Mm-hmm. I think if you think of Eric Rosenberg, who knows more about how to be a successful entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and can help meeting and event planners who are owners be more successful. I mean, it's just, Neen James, who is in herself a force of nature, mm-hmm. and a speaker Sue, And I mean, you think about anybody
it's
else
a
that
beautiful
has this
group.
group of people that we can offer, not only to ALHI members and clients, but we can really offer outside of that, that we can come in and help you address issues, help you grow leaders, help you motivate, help you identify problem operation areas that you have and bring unique solutions to them. So we're just beginning the role, and it's going to gain more and more ground next year. Yeah. And so I think I answered your question, and I'm probably right.
Yeah, no, you did great, Lila. And you know, I am honored to be one of the consultants with Strategic Consulting Services, but I just want to acknowledge that a couple of things. One, the brilliance with how you put it together, and two, the openness that Mike Dominguez has to great ideas and fostering them and making things happen. The other consultants are amazing. I'm thrilled to be part of it. And it's a great service for the members, right? It just is.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those win-win-win-win-win-wins. And I do think it's definitely getting traction and going to get even bigger.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? I often think about how my career has developed. We're kind of going back to one of your first questions, and the same thing could be asked of you. I don't think anybody grows up going, I want to be a consultant.
No, definitely not.
You know, but it is an interesting sisterhood and brotherhood. I guess that's how I'll put it. Mm-hmm. And I always find it fascinating because some people who consult, what you see is who they are all the time. Other people who speak, consult, advise, they have a personal persona and a public one, a professional one. And that's something I write about in my book, because if you're going to have only one persona, which is fine, you just have to understand what are the minuscule differences that need to exist. If you would prefer having a public persona because you are more introverted, there's not a problem. People, however, will not believe it because of what you can do in public. Mm-hmm. And I say that from personal experience, because I am not an introvert's introvert. But if you ask me, if I had to choose between going to a reception that I knew nobody at, a cocktail party or clean toilets, I'd pick toilets.
Well, I have a few toilets that need cleaning, and I'm happy to exchange it to go to any party that you want to send me to.
Yeah, but see, that's what people don't. But am I competitive in my personal life? Well, too much, to be frank. But you know, that's my own issue. But you see, it's not like it's different. And you know, I often think about that because it's also how we look at our employees, and they're never going to be like us, and nor should they be. But are we able to value them for what they bring to the table with their difference? I would never, ever want a bunch of people like me reporting to me. It would be class warfare or some kind of warfare, you know.
Well, I mean, because I think that's the key, is to be able to have a diverse group in thought and perspective and culture and in everything, so that you can better work together and serve at a higher level. I mean, you just have the same people. All right, I'm going to give you fill you in. The first person I hired, oh, we got along great. You know, she was vivacious and she was young and she was, you know, she had all these great ideas. And about a month in, I'm like, oh no, I needed to hire somebody who had the skills I don't have, not the ones I do. Yes, I may get along well with her, but that's fine. We can go bowling over the weekend, but you're not working for me, because
Bingo.
I need somebody who compliments me, that doesn't do the things that I do.
You made me realize, because, you know, as you've got multiple books, and I'm writing another book, and I'm going to write a book on that, because I've had people, they hire friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I don't hire enemies. That isn't what I'm saying. But if I'm hiring people because I want them to like me or I like them, I need help. I mean that sincerely. And that's where I like your statement. We can go bowling on the weekends. I'm serious. That doesn't mean I can't hire people and then come to respect them and like them and would like to go bowling with them. But I'm going to go bowling with them from my perspective. I am not telling people what to do. From my perspective, I'm going to go bowling periodically. And so, because I have clients who say, well, all my friends are at work. Well, then how high up do you want to get in the company? Because you're going to create enemies because you have friends that are known. And it's a juggling act most people can't do. That, again, doesn't mean I don't have friends at work. That isn't what I'm saying. I'm saying there has to be an acknowledgement that being a leader is different. And that's why it's not for everybody. It's not.
Right. It's not. You know, I believe that there are probably a lot of people listening right now that are thinking, well, I want to be a better leader. I want to manage better. I want to know what she's talking about. So can you just take a moment and share with them how they can find you, how they might be able to get your book, or if they want to pick your brain about consulting, anything like that?
Okay. Well, the first place you can get my book is on Amazon, Managing the Book on You.
Got it.
And so you can look up either the title of the book or my name. My first name is Layla, Laalia.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled differently, but it's my name. And my last name is Rach, Rach. So you can look that up and go on Amazon, Managing the Book on You.
I won't make you look it up, listeners. Don't worry. I'll put a link in the show notes for you.
If you want to contact me, you just email me Layla, Laalia, at alhi.com.
Well, that's
and
easy.
Please put in the subject matter. I heard you on Heather's podcast.
Yeah.
And you know why we do that, folks, is because we get too much spam today. And it's so I don't want to have that happen. Mm-hmm. I'm also on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I do. That's my only social media, my choice.
I will put all three of those into the show notes for you. It's because we want people to be able to reach you. It is time. We have flown through this 30 minutes. So please let us know what is that final burning words of wisdom that you want to make sure to share with our listeners today.
The only person you have to be responsible to is yourself. The only person whose judgment should matter is yours. Mm-hmm. It is your career. It is no one else's. What someone else can do readily or easily is not a failure on your part. You have to know who you are, your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make you an egotist. It makes you self-aware. It allows you then to do self-control, self-regulation, to be a better leader. And I really care that we have better leaders today, because I think all of us, and I'm talking business, need good leadership.
Yes, I agree. And I love your final parting words of wisdom. Thank you so much for your time and your energy today. Listeners, if you love this podcast, then share it out with a friend, put it on social media, leave us a review. We love those and we appreciate you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Heather.